Today we'll be started with a new series, a gracious, the anticipation from His gracious calling, the anticipation from His gracious calling. God called people, and He called them to Him, and there is an anticipation from Him. And a Christian should know what is that anticipation for. Then we were aiming the target, the goal, in this spiritual journey. So there should be some background introduction I'd like to share with you. And hopefully this will help you for the future, that for your pursuit after the Lord. Through the Bible, we know God speaks to the people. And God speaks through the human history. In the hallway of time, He echoed His voice so people will understand. The time in the human history, there is a cutting point. So we talk about today is the year of 2011. And when it started, that the time started from Christ's birth. So the time before Christ's birth, we call BC, before Christ. And after Jesus came, then we call AD. So this is how time to set. Amazingly, I count those countries. They started with atheism. They don't believe God at all. And I count those countries one by one. Ironically, their time calculation is by the year of Christ. See, some of the countries, they believe God or gods, but they use their own way to calculate time. But for those countries, they don't believe God at all. And they use the year 2011, even now. And this, I kind of praise the Lord, is His act. He left a tiny, tiny evidence for those people. The country suppressed them, not allow them to seeking for God. But He, through His miraculous way, He still leave that sign, that clue, that people live in those countries. They may ask, why this year is 2011? Where it started? And then it will come out and pop out, that is the time for Christ's birth. And that's amazing. And we read the Bible. This Bible, at the very beginning, God has chosen some people and inspired them and touched them and let them start to write according to His will, even under the writer's culture. So the writer got their background, their own background, but the writer start to write that the God's will, and he follow and coming down and become this, the book that you have it. And within this Bible, God need to show to the people that once you read this book, you will realize and understand that this truly from God, not from man. So he used miracles and show the miracle in the Bible. And also, one of them is called prophecy. And of course, also some teaching about moral. So that can get a response from people, our heart. And this Bible, it will be self-proved. Doesn't need anybody help. The Bible itself will prove itself, this is written by God. And in the Bible, there are one-third is related to prophecy. Prophecy means the time the writer starts to write, but what the content related something not happened yet, and something will happen or will be fulfilled in a later time. That's called prophecy. And nowadays we trace the whole Bible, 80% of those prophecies were fulfilled. And once those prophecies fulfilled, for certain verses in the Bible, if they were fulfilled, it's completely, exactly, precisely fulfilled. There is no gray zone area if once they fulfill. And in the Bible, we know mostly people start to read, you will verify that they are talking about the history of Israel. And secondly, we should know that the Bible is God wanted to introduce himself to the people who read it. So you will see he tried to reveal himself to let you know, what God am I? But he wants to reveal himself because he is invisible. So he chose a group of people, Israel. Through the life that God and Israel live together, walk together, work together, so people can understand, oh, I know what God looks like. What God like or dislike, what God loves and hates. So through the history of Israel, then we'll start to understand. Just like when you talk to me, you try to understand a little bit more about myself, then you will start to see the shadow of my parents, how they taught me, how they raised me up. Through the conversation, through my memory or whatever, then I can bring up those background about my parents. Even though you don't see my parents, but through the conversation, through all my background, you will get the shadow what my parents look like. That's how God did. So we only focus on Israel history through their lifestyle, through their culture, through their religion, then we will figure out, oh, roughly, that should be what God look like. Then we will start to understand. But except the introduction of God himself and also the Israel history, but in this Bible, always coming out, the message is, there is one, it's coming. There is one coming all the way through the Bible, and that is the Israel waiting, the one is Messiah. So until the Messiah appeared, those introduction or those called prophecy, until the prophecy fulfilled, then we came back to understand, yes, this is written through God. God's will, try to have people to write down those scriptures. And for Jesus, in this Bible, before Christ came, what the scripture call Old Testament. And after Christ's birth, then it's called New Testament. And the Old Testament started to write on about 1600 BC. That means before Christ's birth, 1600 years ago, Moses started to write the Genesis and etc., five books. In the last book of Old Testament, Malachi, it was written and finished 400 years before Christ's birth. So the whole Old Testament ended 400 BC. 400 years before Christ come. It's already done. But through this whole Old Testament, there are more than 200 location or area talking about that coming Messiah. And they are talking about the prophecy, talking about where he going to be born and how he came to this world and how he going to live the life, and also talk about how he going to die and what happened after his death. So all of these pinpoint one by one, more than 200 locations you can find from the Old Testament. See, if you are talking about signs, talking about probability, 200 probability, that means if we calculate very simple way is yes or no, 50%, 50%. So that means one incident, that means the probability to become fulfilled is one half. So 200 times, that means you got 200 verse and then one. So you can imagine that probability that a person can totally exactly fulfill that kind of a probability. Then if that person fulfill, there should not be any doubt for a scientist to believe that the one should be the one. And this is the way, God used very scientific way to prove to you that Jesus Christ is the one coming. So for Christian to believe the Bible is very scientific. There's no space for superstition at all. And that is why Christian, when they proclaim their faith, they proclaim with assurance inside. And that is exactly the God wants you to follow him. And the prophecy, I just mentioned to you, once those verses become fulfilled, those verses will be completely, exactly, precisely fulfilled. Okay, let's get back to science or archaeology. The Old Testament was finished 400 years before Christ. So some people write down those books, and those books left. But we know in that old time, there is no copy machine. The author or the writers write down those books. Then some people may come and copy word by word, use their hand to write down manually. And that's become the next book or the next version, but they exactly copy the same way. But through the history, we know Israel was a small, tiny tribe or country. And they've been persecuted, and many, many Israel were slaughtered through the history, even till today. So the Israel people, they don't live in a very stable environment. The country maybe survived for a while, and then the people invade them and kill them and burn their houses. Or those things in the history is already recorded. So you can imagine those Old Testament, they may copy, maybe, for example, like Genesis. After 20 years, someone start to copy that. And then maybe another 200 years, another guy start to copy another one. But maybe then the original, the first one, was destroyed or burned or just lost or trashed. That's why continuously, from time to time, people start to write the same version to pass on to their descendant. Maybe sometimes they got four copies for one book, but somehow it's lost. Until 18th century, what we call nowadays, the science become more and more reliable, then people start to challenge what the exact resource about the Bible. And they challenged, very easy one is the prophecy about Jesus. They will say, whatever left nowadays the version of the Bible is after Christ. Everything happened through the Christ life. And then they start to write, they say it's Old Testament. Try to make it real, make it believe. So they follow whatever happened through Christ or in Christ, and they start to write to match it. So for those Christians, they try to match it. So make it real, say this prophecy. So that means they say, actually, Old Testament was written before, after Christ. And at that time, for Christian, we truly don't have any proof. We are weak. We are not able because we don't have the hard evidence. Until 1947, something happened. I have mentioned to you Old Testament, almost every book, there always some prophecy talking about this Messiah coming. And one of the book is called Isaiah. This book contains so many spots talking about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. And through the Bible, the Old Testament, people trace if they believe this is truly people who written at the time in the history, then they trace it's about 400 BC. That is a time for Isaiah, that person, prophet. Actually, he was he worked for the king. So he should not be just somebody in baloney, you know, made up. He's a real person. And if 700 BC, Isaiah start to write the book of Isaiah, and then pass on, people, maybe a couple hundred years later, the people start to copy it. So let's temporarily forget about this. Let's temporarily forget about 125 BC, Dead Sea Scroll. Let's skip this one. So 700 BC, whatever passed on, the copy of that Isaiah, and then until Jesus Christ come, and then 900 AD, we got a copy, a real copy. But that copy was written 900 AD. 18th century, we collect those scripture. The earliest scripture we at that time, 18th century, we can find is 900 AD. People copy at that time, 900 AD. But we got nothing before Christ. Zero. We cannot prove. We don't have any hard evidence say we got something before Christ. It's already written. So when Christ came, everything fulfilled. That is prophecy, and then Christ fulfilled. We can prove that, but at that time, we don't. 18th century, we don't have anything. Until we only got is 900 AD. That means 900 years after Christ came. So we don't have, we call scientific way to prove the prophecy exists, and then Jesus became fulfilled. 1947. Over the Palestinian area, there's a Dead Sea. Dead Sea, actually, I would explain, the north side, the highest mountain called Hermon. When the water melt, then coming down Jordan River, and then come to the first lake called Galilee. Jesus spent lots of time there. And then continue further south to the very end, it's called Dead Sea. Why called Dead Sea is because the Dead Sea is so low. That is the lowest ever lake in the whole earth. It's about 1,300 feet below sea level. So deep, so low. So all the water coming from Hermon through Jordan River eventually arrive to Dead Sea. And because so low, it's very hot in the summer, just like our Dead Valley, and hot, and also what? Dry, extremely dry. In 1947, there is an Arabian farmers. He tried to find his donkey, get lost. He traced all the way, and to the northwest side of the Dead Sea, there's a tiny area called Qumran, this area. And he found some cave, because he thought his stupid donkey maybe get in there. So he walk in, and actually he fell and tripped and get down to the bottom of that cave. And inside the cave, he found quite a few big jar. And those jar is so huge, and on the top of the jar, it was sealed by wax. And he didn't know, because he's just a farmer. He thought this is something unusual, so he grabbed only one jar and back home. And once he got home, he took it off and pulled out. He found either the sheepskin or papyrus. Those are, it's called papyrus. It's made of a weed paper or sheepskin. And there are some words written on it. And later he talked to his cousin. His cousin has got a business mind. He said, let's bring it to sell. And so they bring the first discovery to sell. How much they sold? $7. And 20 years later, it was sold at that time, $200,000. So don't look down this Bible. It's valuable. You cannot just explain how much value. And that scripture went to the University of Hebrew. And the archaeologists found that this is Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And then, because at that time, the science has already really improved, it's called carbon radioactive isotope. Do you know that? They can verify the age, and they go and went to examine that scripture. And that scripture was written 125 BC. That means before Christ. Finally, to answer those people with science mind, we got a true and hard evidence. The Isaiah book, the oldest one now, is 125 years before Christ born. And the prophecy, and then they check that Dead Sea Scroll, and at that time, the current Old Testament Bible of Isaiah, they check it. They are exactly the same. And then, actually, later they found 11 caves around the Dead Sea area. So many, many scriptures came out, and they tried to match. At that time, current Bible, they found they are the same. So once again, that proved what? The Old Testament was before Christ. And this is the way God try to talk to people who really seeking for him. You should get an answer, and you should believe in truth. And because through the prophecy and the fulfill, the Bible try to tell you, I am the truth. The truth is inside. Because only God is capable. He is not limited by human time or history. He controls the past, the present, and the future. And he tried to tell us that you can trust me. So the Dead Sea Scroll, now you can go to the museum in Israel. And actually, Huntington Library in California, they sent some scripture, the Dead Sea Scroll, into the Huntington Library for exhibit for a certain time. It was pretty amazing. People went there and see, and this is real. So the prophecy become a very important part of our faith. And this is the way God tried to tell how he can work and how he can control. So today, we try to talk about Mark chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. I try to explain from the very beginnings. He said, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah. That means before Christ. This is already written 700 years ago, before Christ's birth. It says, Isaiah the prophet. So Isaiah wrote in that book, say, I, that means God. God will send God's own messenger ahead of you. That you, we know later, is Jesus Christ. So that means God will send John the Baptist, his messenger, ahead of Jesus Christ. And you and the messenger will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. A voice of one calling in the desert, that is John the Baptist, our founder. Prepare the way for the Lord. That means that messenger will do only one thing. He prepared the way. That means if this between people and Jesus, if any obstacle, he will try to remove them. So when Jesus come, it's already paved. The road is paved that Jesus can reach the people and he can give his blessing to the people. So John the Baptist, he will do this work. In the location, where is the location for him? In the desert. So this is 700 years ago. It's already prophesied. This is going to happen. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Could you imagine if you want to become popular, famous, influential? Let's talk about Southern California. Where you will start? Where would you start? You will start Irvine, right? Or maybe go to Los Angeles. I don't think you will go to the Arizona desert. Can you imagine that? Justin Bieber, he was started from Arizona desert? I don't think so. Nobody go there to listen to his music, right? But God's prophecy say, there's a guy who started from the desert. And could you imagine what he wore? Verse 6 said, John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate what? Locusts and wild honey. Look at his costume. Would that look like a Lady Gaga? Who will go to the desert to see that? So, but because God prophesied, so this guy went to the desert. Amazingly, what happened? The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Not only went out to him, but confessed their sins. Have you ever met a person who come to you and confessed his or her sin? Have you? Do you have that magic power? Why God used this person? Look at John the Baptist. He went to the desert. That is a very unfavorite location. And what he wore, have you ever tried camel hair dress? Do you know what it looked like? You wear it, that is extremely uncomfortable because it's so rough. it's uncomfortable. John, he tried to prove or show us this. I am nobody. I'm nothing. That's why I wear these kind of nobody wants stuff. I am nobody. I don't have any influence. I don't have any power. But only one thing, because he called me to preach over there. So I just follow. So amazingly, so many people came. And John would witness to them, say, you came is not because me. Not because of me. I'm nobody. And try to prove to people, all you have seen that the ministry around me is because him, because the Almighty. That's why people come with repentance. Try to imagine a person in the ministry can turn out this result. If you with an intellectual mind, then you will see not because of this person, but the one that called him. Actually, at that time, inside Jerusalem, there is a temple. There are so many priests inside there. There are so many religion people there. Nowadays we say there are so many pastors there. But why people leave that very religious area and go to the wilderness, go to the desert? You need to know, because God's presence. Inside the Jerusalem, they got all kinds of forms of religion, but God is not there. See, our church, if God's here, you will sell tickets in the entrance. People will try to swamp in. So we pray that God's presence among us, you will see people will run into this place. I need to be even more humble. I think tomorrow, next time I should wear camel hair. You too. But this is a way that John the Baptist became so popular, so famous. But listen to what he said. Could it be possible that Justin Bieber, now he is on the top at the notch, then he will say the word that John the Baptist said? After me will come one more powerful than I. Could it be possible? A person go to the top, would that this kind of word will come out from his mouth? Can it be possible? If you climb to the top, then you will say, well, I'm nothing. There will be one coming before me. Because at that time, Jesus not even shown to the people. Nobody know him. Can you imagine that? I try to help you to imagine. If you climb to that top, nobody in this world ever I have found that he will humble say, well, I'm nobody. I got to step down. There's a one, even though you don't see, but he will come. And then I'll become nothing. Unless God arranged this, and God called him, called John the Baptist, and he knew exactly why he was there. If time is up, he got to go. Because the real one will come. See, if John the Baptist, he stayed there, he doesn't want to give way for Christ. He may build up many, many churches. He got his John religion. He can do that. He may even organize an army, maybe build up some kind of country. there's a temptation, right? Maybe through your ministry, you may become the king, or the guru of your ministry. Will you give way to Christ? Is Christ any say to your ministry? He said, I'm not worthy. Even stoop down and untie his thongs. Let's try to see this picture. John the Baptist is so high. All the people, Jerusalem, came to him and confessed to him. So he got power, he got fame, he got position. But then he said, listen, you don't look at me. I'm here. I'm nothing. Look at that guy. Look at that. He is coming. That is the way we serve. Maybe you got some accomplishment in your job, career, position. Would you ever use your position to tell people, I'm nothing. You should look up him. Then people will listen to you, right? Because you have already accomplished some achievement. People envy you about that. But you tell them, this is nothing. You should look up the eternal one. This is the servant of Christ. And he mentioned this, I baptize you with what? With water. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully about John said, I baptize you with only water. I found there are so many denominations, different sects, only talk about the water. They can have a lot of confrontation. Is there any pastor can claim that he can baptize people with Holy Spirit? Is there anyone? And no one talking about the water issue. The sprinkle one, the baptized one, the immersion one, or even the dry one. Do you know Quaker? They don't use water. They just this. It's dry one. So they can have all kinds of discussion, all kinds of theology, to show my theology is better than yours. But the John the Baptist said, I baptize you only with water. Nothing. Only he. So brother and sister, you need to be more concerned about whether you were baptized by the Holy Spirit. Even talking about immersion. Do you know there are, even with immersion, there are lots of talking, different way. Some people say, like this, you need to suppress into the water 3 seconds. Otherwise, the old me would not die. And someone said, no, not into this tank. We need to go to the river. Boy, in Arizona, we only got water in the river probably only for two or three days. And you know our Russian church? Do you know where they baptize? They go to the ocean. And then people say, no, not in the river. You need to baptize people in the Jordan River. And then they went to the Jordan River. They find this is exactly the Jesus baptized or John Baptist baptized location. But later they found there are two or three locations. They say this is the one. See, human, we don't really look to the God. So we create all kinds of reasonable approach. But we miss the most important thing. Are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? This is what John Baptist said. Human always try to bring in something relative and turn it into absolute. And then we bring in the absolute and we try to turn it into relative. So we need to focus what the Bible said. Through John, would that help us to be humble in front of God? That should be the time. Let us pray to him.